Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest is Kristen Mancinelli. She is the author of The Ketogenic Diet, the scientifically proven approach to fast, healthy weight loss. So welcome to the show, Kristen.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. So, you know, you got a topic here that a lot of people are interested in, fast, healthy weight loss. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book, how you got into it.
Well, I'm a dietitian and I counsel a lot of people, of course, seeking weight loss. But I also, in recent years, have had a lot of people with autoimmune disease, things like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. So I've been looking more into diet therapy for those conditions, which led me sort of to the paleo side of things, which eliminates most processed foods and grains as well. And then if you go really deep in that direction, you can hit on the ketogenic diet, which pretty much eliminates carbohydrates. So that's really the path that I took. There's also just the, sort of the Atkins diet, which was very popular in the 70s, 80s, and 90s for weight loss. So ketogenic diets have been around for a long time.
So tell me about how long is a diet and what can you eat on it and what do people notice?
Usually, if you're just trying to lose, let's say, 10, 15 pounds, you could do the diet for a few months and then move into a more moderate, low-carb lifestyle. So what you eat when you start, you pretty much eliminate all fruit, all grains, all starch, all sugar. So you're eating low-carb vegetables, non-starchy vegetables like salad greens, broccoli, asparagus, cucumber, things like that. And proteins, anything that's an animal protein, but really in the beginning you wouldn't have any starchy beans or anything like that. So you'd have fish, meat, chicken, what have you, eggs, and then you'd have a lot of fats, the things that people tend to shy away from when they're trying to lose weight. Things like oils, avocado, coconut oil, olive oil, nuts and seeds. And really it has a lot to do with suppressing appetite, balancing blood sugar, balancing your insulin response, and through a variety of metabolic pathways, it does help promote weight loss, and you're really not very hungry.
So what are the biggest issues for people when they're doing typically a diet?
Any diet, like in general, when someone comes to me for weight loss? Is that the question, or this diet in particular?
Well, this diet in particular, but I guess in general, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, typically what you find is, you know, a lot of the recommendations have been the last 20 or 30 years to reduce fat and overall calories, and in doing so, people have shifted away from eating, you know, fatty foods to eating a lot of sugar-rich foods. So I see a lot of people who won't have, you know, eggs for breakfast or bacon for breakfast, but they'll have a bran muffin that's very high in calories, in particular sugar and flour. So when people try to lose weight, you know, they come to me often saying they're addicted to sugar or they're addicted to carbs. This is a very common thing that you hear. When you go on a ketogenic diet, a high-fat, very, very low-carbohydrate diet, you really go through a process initially of getting over your cravings and getting over what people will say is their addiction to sugar. And then they're not so attached to food. They start to be able to just eat normally rather than eating in a manic way when they're craving something and they go to fuel their sugar addiction. So that's a major change. Sorry, I wasn't sure what else you asked.
What do people notice most when they do a ketogenic diet?
There's initial pretty rapid weight loss as compared to other diets. So if you really take out the carbs, you see over 1 month, 3 month, 6 month period, greater weight loss. Those trends will maintain if the person maintains a low carb lifestyle, but depending on the individual in particular, how much weight they have to lose, whether they're insulin resistant or not, that will predict how much weight they're going to maintain over the long term. When you start a ketogenic diet, you know, a lot of people have experienced what they might call the keto flu, which is some really uncomfortable symptoms where you feel very lethargic, listless, you know, sort of a foggy brain. And that can last anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks. But usually with, some rest, good hydration, getting enough supplementation of sodium, potassium, magnesium, those things tend to make it a little bit easier. I personally did the diet for research for the book. So I had that experience for about 7 or 8 days. I was very tired.
Now, what is the difference between the paleo diet, which is so popular right now, and the ketogenic diet? Is this one step further? Is it one step different than the paleo?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of similarities, yeah. But the paleo diet doesn't expressly prohibit carbohydrates. So it sort of does by proxy in that the paleo diet will say, well, don't eat processed foods based on flour and sugar. Don't eat flour and sugar at all. And so that's a lot of where people's carbohydrates are coming from. If people's carbohydrates were coming largely from large doses of vegetables, then we really wouldn't have a need for people to go on low-carb diets. But that's not where that's coming from. It's coming largely from processed foods, largely from flour and sugar-based products. And the paleo diet really gets rid of all those. But paleo still allows you to have sweet potatoes, for example, other starchy vegetables like winter squash. There's maple syrup and honey in their desserts. Ketogenic diet gets rid of all of that. I mean, if it's sugar, it's out. So that's a major difference. Another major difference is the ketogenic diet really doesn't prohibit any specific foods. It just really limits your carb intake and says that you have to up your fat intake. So, for example, you can have heavy cream on the ketogenic diet, which is very high in fat and has no carbs. But paleo diet typically prohibits dairy. So there are definitely differences. They don't really have the same philosophy, right? The ketogenic diet is really for losing weight and for stabilizing insulin levels. Paleo diet is more of a, the notion is to have a more natural diet based on what our ancestral diet was. So I think the philosophy is different in that regard, too. Although when people go on a paleo diet, they tend to, as I said, really significantly increase vegetables, reduce processed foods, and by virtue of doing that, they do lose weight.
Now, Kristen, there is an argument that, getting rid of carbohydrates for a long period of time is not really that healthy. What's your take on that?
Well, it depends on the, which argument that is. Are you talking about fat and heart disease, or what's sort of what prompts?
Well, the fact that, what people are saying is that carbohydrates are the source of energy that we need to fuel our bodies. And so if we eliminate them by going on an Atkins diet or a ketogenic diet, that at some point our body, when we slow down or when our body gets a chance, that we're going to crave those carbohydrates again and put that weight on.
Yeah, so again, your carbs really have to come from healthy sources. And they should do so for a lifetime. So it's only been the last, 50 years or so that we have had such a, such easy access to sugary and floury foods, muffins, cakes, pastries, bread, boxed cold cereal, things like that. And, those don't really have a place in a healthy diet. So if you're eating carbs from vegetables and fruit, which are the main source, and maybe some grains, you're not going to be eating the amount of carbohydrates that, I don't know what it is in Canada, but I'm guessing it's similar to America, 200 to 300 grams of carbs a day. That's really just too much, especially in the form that they're coming in. So, if we get rid of a lot of that, we would be doing well for our health. In terms of going on a ketogenic diet long term, most people don't need to do that. They can do it for a while, let's say 6 months, to really lose a significant amount of weight, and then shift to the diet that, I just described that really eliminates all of this sugary, floury foods, but still has a good amount of carbs, let's say 100 grams per day. If you're someone who's an athlete, you have really lean physique, then you can definitely tolerate more carbs and still maintain weight and not have any negative health effects, insulin resistance and things like that. But, in general, carbs should come from sources that are even if they're carb, mostly carb, like a vegetable, they're not very carb rich. You know, they don't have a lot of carbohydrate. They don't have a lot of calories. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, but I think in terms of answering your question about long-term health effects from not having carbohydrates, there are studies of populations, you know, various ancestral tribes or even folks who are still, you know, living in parts of Africa today who have 65% fat, you know, in their diet or 65% carbs. The Maasai people in East Africa have 65% fat and the Kitimat Islanders have 65% carbs, you know, so, and they both have a virtual absence of overweight and heart disease and diseases of Western society. So it's really not, it's just not a hard and fast rule that if you're low in carbs or low in fat, that it's going to have either negative or positive health effects.
We're talking with Kristen Mancinelli. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the ketogenic diet. It's a scientifically proven approach to fast, healthy weight loss.